And you're back with Annie and Matt on Solidarity Breakfast, and we've got David Mould on the line. G'day, David. How are you?
I'm great, thanks, Annie. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, yeah. And you're from the Victorian Wildlife Alliance. You sent out a release saying that it's important that the public actually and your volunteers step in where the government is failing when it comes to bird flu.
That's right. Bird flu is an unfolding crisis at the moment for our wildlife. We've known it was coming for a long time, like over a year, and we've been telling the government in all that time it was coming, we need to prepare. They haven't done so, and I fear that the public is woefully underinformed on this. We've now had the first case detected in Werribee, so bird flu has now hit Melbourne. It's not just in the coastal towns in Western Victoria. So people really need to be aware and alert on this one. And we really need to put more pressure on the government to step up and actually do something about bird flu, because at the moment it's falling all back on volunteer shoulders. We just don't have the resources and the capacity to do the job that needs to be done. And communities up and down the coast are furious that they've been left abandoned, effectively, as birds keep dying on their shores. It's very distressing for them.
Oh, I bet you it is. Can you tell us a little bit about what you expect from the government? What can that larger resources mean? What would that mean?
Well, these are some of the things that they should have been doing for ages, but it's not too late for them to finally start. And the very first thing they could be doing is actually sending out some trained teams to be patrolling areas where we know bird flu is happening, removing the dead birds because they are a prime vector of disease. What people don't seem to realise is that that disease, bird flu, is lasting in the body for 5, 6, 7 months after the bird has died. So many opportunities for scavengers or maybe someone walking their dog or children playing in the area to come into contact with that virus. So the very first thing the government needs is dedicated teams that are present where we know there are outbreaks, constantly removing the dead bodies and providing relief to those who are suffering. There are dying birds out there, incredibly upsetting to see. There's not much that can be done for them except humane euthanasia. Leaving them to die horribly is just the cruelest thing I can think of. That's the very first thing the government could be doing. They could be resourcing rescuers. They could be providing the PPE equipment that we need. They could be providing quarantine facilities. They could be doing literally anything, but currently we're seeing nothing.
David, it's Matthew here. One of the things I don't think a lot of people are aware of, I saw a news report last Saturday and I was quite shocked. The report was that it's actually, they found that it's a seal population has been contracted with bird flu. And if I remember the report correctly, it's actually the first time that it's actually crossed to a mammal species.
Well, it's crossed to mammal species a few times around the world in the years past, so we knew that that was going to happen too. Last year, we lost over 13,000 elephant seal pups on Heard Island. This is the first time we've had it in a mammal on mainland Australia. It's happened twice now with seals. We think it's happened two times with foxes now as well, which is really concerning because they will travel inland. And a recent report also determined that it has been found in a dolphin.
So oh, my goodness.
It is a disaster, dolphin. Yes.
Oh, goodness. Yeah, right. Okay. So, in fact, you're the Victorian Wildlife Alliance is actually activated, and you've called people to Portland Yacht Club for Sunday, Monday to actually do humane euthanasia of birds that are ailing in obvious large amounts down across the southwest.
Well, I mean, the ridiculous thing is the Wildlife Alliance was brought together as a group of advocacy groups for wildlife, different wildlife animals that were being let down by the government. So our role was always about information, education and advocacy to the government. When we saw that the government was absent, we started making some noise about it. And at that point, wildlife rescuers just stepped up. They said, well, that's it. I've had enough of waiting. I'm going. So we've been providing some support for them in terms of logistics and coordination, but these are individuals who stepped up because they kept hearing the government say, oh, well, there's not much we can do. And in 24 goodness. Hours in Portland, those rescuers proved that they can do more than the government could do in a year.
David, it's Matthew again. What about the federal government's response or lack of response?
Well, the federal government has left a lot of it to the states to deliver the on-the-ground resourcing and action, which Victoria has been absent for. But they've poured some money in. I know BirdLife Australia has been asking for an investment of $200 million in order to promote the recovery of species after the bird flu has sort of ravaged everything, so we can give them the best chance of surviving and returning their numbers. And I know the federal government put in 10% of that, which seems completely inadequate.
Well, considering that they can put money into war machines, it seems pretty extraordinary to us.
Yeah, when you measure it against the submarine, nuclear submarine, it seems like they've only got... This is beer money for the government. They've found some coins behind the couch and they threw it at wildlife. It's contemptuous, and it seems that the governments have really abandoned wildlife.
Would it be right to describe it as a crisis, David?
Absolutely. Yes, this is a crisis, and it's only going to get worse. We've always known this because we saw it unfold in the rest of the world, and Australia got lucky that we avoided it last year. We knew it was going to come to us, though. In other parts of the world, there have been absolute disasters coming through, even mainland, hitting mammals, hitting family pets. I mean, one thing your listeners should be aware of, cats should be kept inside from now on because cats are very vulnerable to this disease. And we just can't assume that it's not here or things are fine. We have to take all the precautions we can now, and we have to do it because the government won't.
David, how can people get involved in a positive way?
The first thing we should be aware of is people without training and people without the proper protective equipment should be very careful when they see a bird that they think is sick and might have bird flu. The disease can jump to humans. It doesn't very often. It's pretty rare, but it can. So we want people to be mindful of that. And if they do see a bird, to let someone know. There is a hotline for the government to be informed, but that seems pretty useless. So make sure you inform a wildlife rescuer who can maybe do something about it. If you're on one of those coastal towns where there's large mass mortality events happening, one of the best things to do is to let us know so we can arrange some sort of a response in the absence of government action, and then we can get down there. If you want to be involved, we need spotters, we need people finding where they are and letting us know, and keeping other people back, because this is such a scary thing. In Portland, I saw people picnicking and playing around where dead bodies were lying, and this is a dangerous time for that. We've even seen a whole lot of dead bodies being left around vulnerable animals like Sammy the seal in Portland, who's an iconic seal, a lot like Neil the seal in Tasmania, but nowhere near so destructive. And he's a family favourite in the area, but there's photos of him lying down on the wharf there with dead birds right next to his head. And this is, no one's doing anything about it except for volunteers, which is just insane to me.
So you've got an action scheduled for Sunday and Monday, so people meeting at Portland Yacht Club at 1:30 p.m. on Sunday.
That was last Sunday. We're hoping to have some rescuers down there monitoring again this weekend. But like I say, there's just not enough rescuers. There never has been enough rescuers to do this job. We've always had to rely on a government who seems to have vacated the field entirely. So we'll try and get volunteers down to each of those coastal towns that are reporting mass events, everywhere from Nelson through to Port Ferry, Apollo Bay, Warrnambool, and now a few in Geelong are coming up. And we're just stretched too thin. So if volunteers, if community members can let us know where things are happening, we can try and focus the resources in the right places. But again, as I say, this wasn't really what we were ever set up for. We're stepping into a void that has been left by the government, and they're quite happy to still leave the instruction of just leave the dead bodies where they are. But as I say, if that virus can stay in the body for months and months and months, all we're doing is creating vector for disease by doing that. So volunteers are the only people trying to flatten this curve.
So you have a website presence?
We have a social media presence. We can be found on Facebook particularly. That would be the best way to find us.
Okay, the Victorian Wildlife Alliance. Thanks very much for talking to us this morning, David.
Well, thanks for your time.
Thank you, David.